China is accumulating gold. And that mindset has spread to basically every developed nation on earth and developing nations. And we're going to go through that with you now. And why are we doing this? We have a long essay that's going to come out about this, an analysis with proof, et cetera, et cetera. But we wanted, the point of all this is, do not sell your physical gold or silver if you can afford not to.
Welcome to the Morning Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey, where each morning Vince brings you the financial and precious metals news to get you ready for your day. And now, here's Vince.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Vince Lancey. This is the Gold Fix Market Rundown. Right up top, we want to say we're taking off tomorrow. We threaten that a lot, but I think we'll actually do it because we have the following coming soon. We have a new note from Goldman describing, elaborating on more upside from rising gold allocations. We have some commentary about silver from their trading desk, hat tip from you-know-who to you-know-who. We have the World Gold Council. The AI really doesn't know how to spell yet. 2025 Trends and Trades. Golden Yuan and other bull 2026 calls. A little bit of levity, but really not crazy when you think about it. Russia's gold squeeze mapped. We have a study, a very long, very academic study on silver demand and the PV impact through 2030. So how photovoltaic silver, solar silver, is handling and working with the competing demand, investment demand, and other industrial demand. Very long, very intense academic paper, and we think it's very good. And finally, what we're going to focus on for this conversation, a preview of a post topically called Global Mercantile Populism and Why You Should Hold Physical Metal. And it's not hyperbole. Let's do the markets first. There's the home page. 10-year yields are down 2. The dollar is down 16 after getting hit yesterday. The S&P 500 is down 21. NASDAQ is down 52. The VIX is up 8 basis points. Gold is down 20 on its lows. Silver is up 49 on its lows since 4 a.m. So those metals are off their highs. Copper is up a penny and a half, penny and three quarters. WTI down $1.15. Natural gas down 18. Bitcoin down 1,900. Ethereum down 125. Palladium down 9. Platinum up 9, 10. Gold, silver down 70 basis points again. Grains are all up. Okay, so ignore grains. This, and ignore silver. Okay, this is the market telling you that whatever the Fed's doing isn't enough, if you were looking at it as a snapshot. This, in context of yesterday's move, again, we're not looking at silver, is the two-day move from 2 p.m. to now is basically stocks, bonds rising, dollar dropping, gold rising, all in reaction to the Fed decision not to cut 25 basis points. That even though they cut 25 basis points and the tone was hawkish, the Fed is essentially starting QE, or as Zero Hedge calls it, not QE. And we're going to get into why it's not QE and why it is QE in a second. It's a difference without a distinction, or a distinction without a difference. So it's QE. We'll get into that in another thing over the weekend. That's why the markets are doing what they're doing today. Again, we're not looking at silver. Everything in that market, everything in that board there is a little bit of a give back of the previous day's action, which was a reaction to the Fed essentially starting QE. So that's an explanation of the markets. What you would want to look at as a trader, talking to the traders in the chat, notice, start with Bitcoin, because I'm long Bitcoin. Bitcoin rallied yesterday as well, along with gold, right? We're not talking about silver, along with gold, along with stocks, along with bonds, right? But Bitcoin has given back a lot more. You know, Bitcoin rallied 5%, gives back 4%. Stocks rally 1%, gives back 25 basis points. So there's a problem here with Bitcoin. I'm saying that to you as someone who's looking at it. I don't know what the problem is. It should be going up. But there is a problem. And I think the problem is the guys that used to repress gold, they're repressing Bitcoin now. You can't have this much buying and have the market not move. Anyway, staying with silver, well, again, no one's talking about it yet. And we're going to remind you that no one's talking about it because we're still talking about it. For the last decade, people have been collectively buying gold and selling silver. For whatever reason, buying gold for this reason, that reason, this reason, that reason, selling silver for this reason. And there are people out there that actually did the two. And that's been going on for a decade in dribs and drabs, sometimes in big chunks. And now you're seeing those people who have that carry trade unwinding it. Again, it comes in fits and starts, but you're seeing this peek behind the curtain when if you're saying to yourself, oh, they're selling gold to buy, they're selling gold to get silver down. Yeah, you're right. Let me add another layer to that for you. They are selling gold to buy silver, not to get silver down. They are selling gold in the hopes that silver will drop and they can buy it. They are selling gold because they have profits in it, and now they want to roll into silver because they think it's going up. They are selling gold because some people are looking at it as the Fed didn't cut enough. Okay, so all these reasons they are selling gold to buy silver, they are selling gold to get silver down, they're all the same reason. It's the mechanics of a marketplace with shorts that have their gonads in a vice grip. You do what you've always done, but now you do it in a more urgent fashion. So in the past, when they wanted to buy gold, you could sell 500 silver contracts and get yourself liquidity on 2,000 gold contracts because silver would move quickly. Now, you got to sell an awful lot of gold to get silver to move. So they've gotten gold to drop, what, $30 off the highs today? And silver's dropped 10 cents off the highs or 30 cents off the highs, but still it's up 60 cents. They're creating liquidity. Now, there are reasons that this is a good trade because, you know, all the macro reasons that you're going to hear, they come after the fact, right? Right. But I'm telling you what's going on. People are stressing. Now we talk about silver. This is physical tightness. This is the beginning of a bunch of small short squeezes. This is the beginning of a market that can be pushed very easily, just like it used to be pushed. Used to be leaned on. Used to be leaned on. All you had to do was just walk into the room if you were a bullion bank and silver would drop a nickel. That's how it worked because the psychology was damaged. Now the psychology is damaged the other way. If gold is up a dollar, oh shit, I should buy my silver. I'm short silver. Is the Fed going to ease? Oh shit, I should buy my silver because the American normies are going to buy the shit out of it. Is Shanghai going to open? Oh shit, I should cover some of my silver. Okay, so they're going to cover at any price. The question is, how much do they cover? And the, you know, is it Wednesday? All right, then I should probably buy some silver. I mean, that's the mindset. The mechanics of the market right now, last night were Shanghai speculators, Shanghai CTAs, Shanghai government-directed speculators bought silver and gold on the open. Boom. London was mixed at 4 a.m. I didn't see a clear direction, but that probably is a sign that the Chinese government was not in the market. Now what you have is a market that's softer as more and more people are showing their risk. Okay, but enough about that. Let's go to what we want to talk about. And that is, I think this might be the most important thing to discuss in a long time. So let me see if I can get to my notes there. I do have some slides. See if I can bring them up. All right. China has been, a Chinese official in 2016, 2017, when asked how much gold China had, responded to the IMF official with, China owns gold through its people. And back then, and until recently, it was taken to mean that China will confiscate its own people's gold. That's a Western mindset. But that's not the case, or maybe it is the case, but that's not the point. The point is China is accumulating gold, and that mindset has spread to basically every developed nation on earth and developing nations. And we're going to go through that with you now. And why are we doing this? We have a long essay that's going to come out about this. an analysis with proof, et cetera, et cetera. But we wanted, the point of all this is, do not sell your physical gold or silver if you can afford not to. That's the message, okay? And we're going to show you how the world is changing at the macroeconomic policy level to encourage more gold and silver ownership, even if it's not official, wink, wink, yet. Okay, so today's episode, that's what I wrote today's episode, that's ridiculous. Look, we're going to preview a global shift that is hiding in plain sight. Now, you see that graphic there? Governments are directing citizens into state-approved gold and silver channels. Rules around ownership, custody, taxation, and reporting are changing across major economies. The pattern is unmistakable. At 5 a.m. when this hit me, it just became unmistakable, and the implications are profound. Key points that will be discussed in this paper. The United States, India, China, Italy, and Russia have each changed regulations to guide household gold and silver into formal supervised systems. AI does not know how to label yet. Households are becoming strategic reserve extensions. Their metal is increasingly visible to the state. Export controls and collateral rules reinforce gold and silver retention inside national borders. Developed nation central bank buying continues despite rising prices, which signals deliberate, inelastic accumulation. Long dormant central banks in places like, who else? We've got Brazil, Venezuela, I think recently, are now buying again. Emerging market participation is also broadening the sovereign bid. This creates a two-layer accumulation dynamic. Back to that original graphic. Citizens accumulate bottom-up while institutions accumulate top-down. Nations appear, and this is the key here, nations appear to be preparing for a world where gold and silver matter in settlement, collateral, or crisis liquidity. Integrating household metal into regulated channels, 401ks, stable coins, collateral deals like in India, provides governments with visibility, influence, and potential access in emergencies. The trend resembles a modern form of populist mercantilism. Metallic balance sheets are being rebuilt quietly or not so quietly, depending on how you look at it, through policy, structure, and incentives. Call it sovereign mercantilism. Call it civic-minded mercantilism. Call it distributed sovereign reserves. You know, decentralized centralization for the crypto guys. The signal is unmistakable to us now. Do not sell your physical. Gold and silver have already returned as money. If you can afford not to, by all means, you have to live and you have to eat. Do not, but otherwise, do not sell your physical gold and silver if you do not have to. I think I have another graphic to show you. Here, can't even spell the word structural. Structural drivers of fragmentation, geopolitical rivalry, financial sanctions, declining trust in fiat reserves, commodity supply insecurity, regional payment system divergence. Mercantilism. All right, so there you go. That's coming out later today. It's going to be a long-form piece, and hopefully those graphics will be a little bit cleaner, but that's the idea. All right, so let's go through the rest of the stuff here today. Things are happening faster now. Wow, they're happening even faster than we thought they'd happen. Feature post on news sites. TD's Golly says platinum standing up for a big squeeze on Scottsdale Mint. Zero Hedge, India monetizes silver's buying power. Jerusalem Post, how Russia can and will squeeze global gold. They will. We're going to be writing on that this weekend. Yahoo, BIS sees speculative bubbles in gold and U.S. stocks. We just did that. This is what we put up yesterday, and I think maybe a little bit on the day before in the evening. These are the more popular ones. I'm just going to touch on the more popular ones. Breaking gold and silver spike as Fed starts QE-like purchases. That was a live audio piece we put out at about 2:30, 2:45, describing what happened, laying out in bullet points the concepts behind what Powell's decision was, why he was doing it, and what the effect would be on markets, or was on markets. Silver cracked 61 on rising lease rates. That is our analysis last night, yesterday's morning commentary on the silver market, why it cracked 61, more buyers than sellers, of course. But lease rates, while they're still not high relative to where they were, are well off their lows and are moving towards, though I haven't seen it, touch 8%. But in some reports, they have been at 8%. I'm seeing it at 6.75 to 7.5 in that area now, depending on what you're looking at, 30, 90, or 180-day rates. So well off the lows, but nowhere near the problem. And I think that's all indicative of the slow moving squeeze. ECB warns Italy to reconsider gold call to the toll recall to the point of, we just said at the opening, founders Europe after Zelensky. That's a very high level geopolitical piece on Europe. And it's must read if, it's must read if you follow Tom Luongo. How's that? Pretty scary. CME Black Friday blackout was human error. That's their contention. How Russia can and will squeeze global gold. Already mentioned that. And Jim Rickards, eight events driving the gold frenzy. Okay. Coming soon. We mentioned that already. In the chat, we're going to drop a lot of things today. Since we'll be off tomorrow, we'll only be communicating with people through the chat tomorrow and through the weekend. What else? Friday, nothing is scheduled. I'm off. Let's take a look at the charts. That's Polly, if you're wondering what those lines are. Daily Gold says we're in a range, literally the middle of the range. There you go. Daily Silver says 58.47. We have a target. We've mentioned that target. If you remember, depth equals distance. Depth, let's get rid of some of these lines here. Depth equals distance. Our target is 63.5. Does it have to get to 63.5? No, it can get to 63.49 or 63.48. If you're counting pennies, then you're missing the big picture right now. But we're pretty close to it. Do I think that we're done? No, 63.5 is my level. I am still long, as people know. And I would have to say, you wonder if you're long and you're if you were doing what I was doing, which is insane. Don't do that. You would probably be long with a stop at it like 58.50 now. Let's see. Between 59 and 58.50. Let's see what Polly says. There you go, 58.47. That algo's getting pretty smart there. Let's hide that. And let's go to the shorter term so we can see today's activity in silver. All right, so here's our physical demand. Here's our physical demand screaming. Here's our ETF demand. Here's our, London did sell yesterday. That's right. That's right. That's right. Here's Shanghai coming on. Well, I guess you could say, no buying, right? So no real buying after that. So the buying starts at 1 a.m. Okay, so this doesn't actually feel very strong to me looking at this chart. So I would say if you have no position right now, you should have no position. You might want to buy new highs. There's probably stops above there. Momentum triggering is coming in. And you probably want to sell new lows for a quick trade. But look, the structure is actually, look, the faster and busier a market gets, the more efficient the technicals get. You know, technicals are right. They just don't matter in a market that no one's watching. Everyone's watching silver now. So everyone is either going to buy 6155 or sell 6155. Why? Because it's the top of the previous structure. And chances are everyone will buy and everyone else will sell. And who's dominant determines what the move is. So at 6155, you place your bet and you take your chance. And here, there will be buying, speculative inflow, especially during U.S. hours, and there will be selling, profit taking. So at these levels, you will have decided moments. You probably won't have, you know, sideways moments. Now, the reason I bring that up so pointedly is that we have been getting these long wicks. These aren't, I don't see long wicks on the hourly here. I probably saw them back here. We've been getting these V-shaped bottoms. I just spoke with Chris Martinson about these. And these V-shaped bottoms on an hourly probably shows up more in a 30-minute. Are levels are getting, here's an example. Levels got here. Here's a high. Here's a market working up the highs. Find selling, fine. Comes down. Test to see if what's here. Now, if there were a lot of long specs in this market, this area here would have been sold relentlessly and traveled down to here. And there probably was selling there, people like me, right? However, there was more buying than selling. So there's unfilled buying that started here that went to here. Now it's chased the market or made other shorts cover up to here. Did this unfilled buying raise its level again? This is the floor being raised in real time. And that's why the silver levels are so good right now, you know, that I'm giving, because the market's respecting it. You don't have to wait a lot of time. Now here's gold off the lows. Yeah. So now it's like, okay, we're coming into New York hours and gold's been sold down and silver's been sold down. We bought some silver. Now the U.S. guys are coming on and they're saying, you know, U.S. normal types are coming on and they're saying, well, gold looks cheap. Let's buy it. And so now you have this virtual cycle, this snowball rolling downhill, but getting bigger, but the price is rolling uphill. So, I mean, let's see what happens. You want to see what happens after 10 a.m., as several people in our chat have noted. And we're off tomorrow. We would remind that all this is coming soon with the global mercantile populism concept or thesis sent out first. And if you're struggling with this, I want to just leave you one thing. You look at your money as yours and the government's debt as its own. The government doesn't look at it that way. The government looks at it as one big balance sheet. They look at it as public debt and private debt, right? Right now, the government owns a lot of the debt in the country and the private sector doesn't. And they need to get the private sector to own some of that debt. We need to finance our own debt. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, one of the ways you can do that is to buy assets that the U.S. wants you to buy. And we may not be buying our own debt, but we are, by buying the gold, hedging our own debt. Every country, when the doors are closed with other countries, says, this is how much we have. And they include what you have. They don't just look at the government's half. They look at the whole thing. If you don't think the U.S. does that as well, you're out of your mind. So they're not going to confiscate it. They're just going to convince you to buy it. And if there's ever an emergency, poof. Hence, you always have some of your assets out of the system. Do not sell your gold or silver if you have expenses covered for a pronounced amount of time. I'm Vince. See you later.
Well, thank you, Vincent, as always, for this morning's show in such an exciting time and year in the gold and silver markets. Amazing to think that we're wrapping up 2025, and soon enough, we'll find out what 2026 has in store for the gold and silver markets as President Donald Trump jams his interest-cutting choice into the Federal Reserve. deficits continue to soar, BRICS continue to de-dollarize, and who knows what else will happen next year, but we will be here with you. And fortunately, along with that, another company that has been here with us, who is Dolly Varden Silver, actually had some news out on Monday as they have entered into a merger with Contango ORE for what will be a new North American high-grade mid-tier silver gold producer and developer. One of the highlights of the deal is that Contango already has the Manh Choh mine in Alaska, which is a producing mine that had total cash distributions for the first 9 months of 2025 of $87 million, which will really also allow them to grow the company because in addition to Dolly Varden's Kitsault Valley project, Contango also has the Lucky Shot and Johnson Tract mines in Alaska, and the combined entity is what they are expecting to be a new North American high-grade mid-tier silver gold producer and developer. I will be talking with Sean Kunkin of Dolly Varden Silver later this week to get some more insight into his thoughts on the deal, but just wanted to pass that along. Make sure you were aware of the news and find out a little bit more about the progress of Dolly Varden's drill campaign this year leading up to this deal. Well, that video is coming your way now.